Welcome to the Liberty of the Captives podcast, coming to you from North Attleboro, Massachusetts. And now, here's your host for today's presentation, Lisa Ruby.
We have a special guest with us today, Mary Hostek, a Bible-believing Christian from Oklahoma. Mary's here to share with us the importance of getting into the Bible. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Lisa. I just wanted to share today why I think it's so important to pick up that Bible and to see what God has to say to you. You need to take that Bible so personally. I'm going to use myself as an example because since it's happened to me, I can honestly say that it's true. Now, I've been a believer for almost 19 years, and from almost day one, God drew me into the Bible. I love the Word of God. I've always loved it, and God has taught me many things over these 19 years. My husband and I have been through the Bible. We're going into it for the 89th time. I don't say this to brag, but I want to make a point, people. My chance of being deceived will be much less than a person who has never picked the Bible up or who has only picked it up 1, 2, 3, 4 times, something like that. I'm not going to tell you that I know it all because I will never know it all. If I go through the Bible 500 times, I'll still never know it all. There's too much there. But the importance of knowing the Bible is so you won't be deceived. That's one reason. The first reason is that you need to know who God is. You need to know that He is Almighty God, Jehovah, the great I Am. He does not change, and He does not allow His Word to change. Anyone who tempers with the Word of God, they're in real trouble with the Lord. And you need to know the Bible because a lot of people, especially young believers, will think that they must go to a church. Well, Jim and I have been in many churches. Jim was in construction, so we traveled a lot. And we went into many, many churches. And while we were in some of these churches, we found out that even the pastors had not been through the Bible. Yet they were up behind a pulpit preaching. And some of the churches would say, well, we're full gospel. Well, no, how can you be full gospel when you've never even read the Bible? How can you preach the full Word of God when you don't even know what there.
Now, Mary, did you actually ask the pastors if they've been through the Bible?
No, I taught them by Scripture, by quoting Scripture to them.
Okay.
I'm going to use this one pastor. He was in Leesburg, Virginia, and I was a baby Christian. Like I said, God started teaching me early and grounding me in Scripture. And I shared 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 with this pastor. And the Scriptures were so important. It talks about another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. And this pastor didn't even know that.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had shared that scripture with him. And then later on in a Sunday service, he was just really happy about this. And he was sharing it with the congregation. And he said, folks, I've got a scripture for you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. And he read it, and he said, isn't that right, Mary? And I'm sitting close to the back, and I said, yeah, that's right. So anyways, that was one of the first experiences. Another experience was I was sharing scripture with the little pastor here at our hometown where we went to church, and he had never even been in chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. And he said, that chapter talks about the return of Jesus, the second coming. And he said, I never read that before. I was always taught. And I said, that was the problem. You were always taught. You went through seminary, and you were taught certain things there rather than being taught all of the Scripture. So these are two reasons why I want to caution people. You may be sitting in a church that a pastor has never went through the whole Bible. You may be sitting there taking his word for it. You may assume that this person knows exactly what he's talking about. What I want you to know is in seminaries, they're only taught certain parts of the Bible. In the Southern, in the Dallas Seminary, Southern Baptists, they're taught pre-trib. They're taught once saved, always saved, which goes directly to Scripture. And how do I know this? I know it because I read it in the Bible. So over the years, I call it locking horns with pastors, where we would go to church from Illinois to Florida, back to Oklahoma, and all in between. And as we would be in these churches, we would hear certain scripture being presented, and they might only read half of a verse. Well, the last half of that verse was crucial.
Yes.
And I've heard other pastors on TV, they would quote a verse and just leave it like it was a period there. And because I had been through the Bible so many times, I'd be sitting there saying, okay, now finish the verse. Finish the rest of the verse. And they never would, which is crucial to what the believer needs to know in these verses. But they would take half a verse and just sermon around it, which...
I know what you mean, like Romans 8:1, that's a classic verse that they do that. There's therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Instead of the rest of the verse.
Yeah. And that happens to a lot of verses offhand. I can't remember all of the verses, but some of the people, these TV preachers, when I became a believer, I was almost 48 years old. And we turned on the television. We assumed that these TV preachers, they knew it all. Well, while we were listening to the TV preachers, we were still in the Bible. We stayed in the Bible. So one day I said, where did he get that? It's not in my Bible. And I could mention names here, and if you want me to, I will.
Please do, Mary.
Okay, it was Charles Stanley. And he was preaching on something, and it was a once saved, always saved thing. And I said, where did he get that? It's not in my Bible. So anyways, as we began to turn the TV preachers off, because we knew that we were being taught a lie, opposite of what the Bible says, it wasn't long until we had turned the TV off, period. We stopped listening to anyone preach because so many of the pastors would preach opposite of what my Bible said. And I happen to use the King James. I think it's the infallible Word of God, that every word there is God-breathed, and that it's meant for me. I take my Bible so personally. I happen to have been saved. While reading the Bible, I was sitting at the table with three women who were in the New Boston Church of Christ, which I later on found out is a cult, and I have much information to back that up, and plus what I experienced personally. But while I was in this Bible study with these three women, the Word of God convicted me. So, well, I just cried out to him, and I was saved right there on that spot. Now, people can be saved. I don't care if you're in a cult or who you are, you can still be saved. God's going to give everybody a shot at this. What you do with that chance to be saved is going to be up to you. For the people who are saved, I want to ask you a question. Are you into the Word of God? And if you are not, I want to know why. People will tell me and have told me many, many times, I don't understand it, and I don't have time to get in there. You don't need to say that in my presence because it's a cop-out. I'm not going to buy it. If you're a true believer, I believe you want to know who God is, what his message is for you. We're talking about, in your case, your soul, my case, my soul, where it's going to spend all eternity. Eternity is time with no end. We're going to be separated from God. If you haven't read about hell, I suggest you get in the Bible. Read about it. I don't want anyone to go there. For the people that I'm talking to today, I want to encourage you, please, get in the Bible. Take it so personal. You will not allow anything to interrupt your time with the Lord. Let him speak to you. Remember this. He's not going to show you all of it at one time. He's still showing us things today, and that's 19 years later, and going through it almost 89 times. He's still going to show us if we go through it 500 or 1,000 times. There's still much to learn. We'll never know it all, not in our lifetime. I want people to know, to be obedient to the Word of God. You have to get in there and see what you're going to be obedient to. From Genesis 1:1 to the very last verse of Revelation, it talks about obedience. How can you be obedient to God if you don't know what he wants to be obedient to? So I tell people all the time, please, pick up the Bible and read it.
Well, Mary, would you come back later? Would you come back and do, and give us a system? The Bible is 66 books. Where does a new Christian begin to get into the Word of God? And how do you have a system and a plan so that they can go through the Bible?
Okay, this is what we did, and we did it for a good reason. Some people will tell you, a lot of pastors will tell you to start in the New Testament in the book of John. No, you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That lets you know immediately, the God that created the heavens and the earth, that is Jesus. And how do I know that? Because over in the New Testament, which is John chapter 1, verse 3, it clearly says that nothing was created unless Jesus created it. So Genesis 1:1 lets me know that the God who created heaven and earth is Jesus. See? So if you go to the Old Testament and you keep it all, you have to read the Old Testament. One book, the Old Testament needs the New Testament, the New Testament needs the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is where you first learn about God and who He is. He is a loving God, but He is a just God. He separates Himself from sin. He has so much to, He talks about the forbidden practices in Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14. You need to know about these forbidden practices. How are you going to know about those if you read the New Testament first? Start at Genesis, and you go all the way.